Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, The Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes. And this morning is text, is it 7 or 8? 8. Okay, I thought it was 7. All right. I prepared for 7, so maybe I'll speak on 7 also. Kesha Prasad Hanon Mardha. Maybe I'll break it up here. Snapana Abhyagjana Hadikam. Guru Sribi Yuvatibi Gharayat Nat Atmana Yuva Kesa Prasad Hanon Mardha Snapanav Yanadjadhikam Guru Sri Bir Yivatibi Karayan Natmano Yuva Kesha Prasad Hanon Mardha Snapanhavya Janadikam Guru Sri Bir Yivatibi Karayan Atmano Yuva Kesha Prasad Hanon Mardha Stapanhavyan Janatikam Guru Sri Bhir Yuhatibi Karayan Atmano Yuva Matajis. Kesa Prasadhana. Brushing the hair. Unmarda. Massaging the body. Snapana. Bathing. Abhyagjana adikam. Massaging the body. With oil and so on. Guru Srivi, by the wife of the spiritual master. Yuvatibi, very young. Karayat, should allow to do. Na, never. Atmana, for personal service. Yuva, if the student is a young man. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. If the wife of the spiritual master is young, a young brahmachari should not allow her to care for his hair, massage his body with oil, or bathe him with affection like a mother. Purport. The relationship between the student or the disciple and the wife of the spiritual master or teacher is like that between the son and the mother. A mother sometimes cares for her son by combing his hair, massaging his body with oil, or bathing him. Similarly, the wife of the teacher is also a mother, a guru patni, and therefore she may also care for the disciple in a motherly way. If the wife of the teacher is a young woman, however, a young brahmachari should not allow such a mother to touch him. This is strictly prohibited. There are seven kinds of mothers: Atma Mata Guru Patni Brahmani Raja Patrinika Dhenur Datri Tathapritvi Saptaita Mantara Smrita. These mothers are the original mother, the wife of the teacher or spiritual master, the wife of a brahmana, the king's wife, the cow, the nurse, and the earth. Unnecessary association with women, or even with one's mother, sister, or daughter, is strictly prohibited. This is human civilization. A civilization that allows men to mix unrestrictedly with women is an animal civilization. In Kali Yuga, people are extremely liberal, but mixing with women and talking with them as equals actually constitutes an uncivilized way of life. Om jnana tamarandasya jnananjana salakaya chakshu militam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham kruta vachalang pungun lang hayate agarim yat kripa taraham vande shri gurum dinadaranam vanchakal pativyuscha kripa sindubhyepacha patitanam pavaneya vaisnavevyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasati gaur bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I was thinking maybe we should just go on to the next verse. What do you think? Now we'll speak a little bit about this, but it's nothing that we deal with very much. It's, we don't have that example in our society of the wife of the guru massaging the disciple, whether old or young. It's not part of the culture. Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, though that's kind of interesting, that human civilization means that men and women, they're separate. And where the men and women, they mix unrestrictedly, it's an animal civilization. And therefore, because it's not followed in society now, materialistic society, therefore there's so much chaos. There's so much divorce and so much pain, so much chaos because of this unrestricted mixing with the sexes. So, actually I was thinking that yesterday, or the previous verse was today's, so I prepared for that, and you'll speak a little about that. In this purport, Prabhupada, he mentions that a brahmachari or a sannyasi should avoid talking with women or reading literature concerning talks between men and women. Now, previously in other ages, there was the Gurukul. In the Gurukul, only boys would go there. There was no girls. So it was much easier for brahmachari to lead the life of brahmachari. There was no women. But Prabhupada made some adjustments with our ISKCON society when he came to the West, because there was so many women also coming. And Prabhupada, actually there was no instance of a brahmacharini ashram before Prabhupada coming here. Because the girls were always protected by the father, then by the husband, and then by the son. Even in our ISKCON societies, our ISKCON temples in India, there's no brahmacharini ashram. There's no women living in the ashrams. Even in our ISKCON society in India, it's not part of the culture. I think they tried to do it in Chaupati, but it didn't work out. So many women were coming to ISKCON, so Prabhupada started the brahmacharini ashram, and still all over the world there's brahmacharini ashrams. And of course brahmacharya ashram. So of course it's to follow that with brahmacharinis and brahmacharis around, to not speak to them and not look at them, and to follow this rigid brahmacharya is very difficult. I read this and I tried this in my earlier brahmacharya days, and it didn't work, you know? Because you kind of get looked down on, trying to be some artificial fanatic or something. So I had to cool off a little bit and be more personal with all the devotees. But it's not easy. Prabhupada says in one purport that in Kali Yuga it's practically impossible to be a brahmachari, because it's so difficult. In other ages also, it's very difficult. But especially in Kali Yuga, it's very, very difficult. And because the emotive passion and emotive ignorance is very, very prominent. And Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Kamesha Krodesha Rajagunas Mudma Mahasana Mahapama Vidyena Mihavaya, that this lust, it begins in the mode of passion, and it's transformed into anger. It's all-devouring, sinful enemy of the world. This is the greatest enemy. People think that this material enjoyment is the greatest pleasure. But actually, Prabhupada says in a purport, it's the greatest, it's the ultimate enemy of the living entity. Lust is the ultimate enemy of the living entity. It's in that avartam jnanam etena jnanino nityavarana. The wise living entity's pure consciousness is covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied, and it burns like fire. Krishna also, he was a brahmachari. And he was the best brahmachari. Although he was in the forest with beautiful young girls, most beautiful, thousands of them, still he was the best brahmachari. How was that? During the Rajasuya sacrifice, it was trying to be decided who should be the most respected. What is that? The first offering or something? What was it? In the Rajasuya sacrifice? most honorable. So many people came forward and said that Krishna should be honored first, most honorable. And some people complained about that. Then Bhishma spoke. And he said that actually I'm famous as being the greatest brahmachari because he took this vow of never marrying, staying brahmachari, although he was a prince and would have become king. But he said, I cannot do like Krishna has done in the forest late at night with so many beautiful girls, but still controlling his senses. So this is Krishna. He was dancing with him, but Prabhupada was speaking about this. He said, you never hear of any illicit sex. He was dancing and singing with them, but he was still remaining brahmachari. Up until when? Until he married who? Yes, Rukmini Ki Jai. So that was Krishna's first marriage. And it's interesting how that it came through. She was going to marry Sisupal. And Sisupal, he hated Krishna. You imagine that? Just to say that even, it's just like odd, you know. Hated Krishna. Criticized Krishna so much. So then Rukmini, she did not like this idea of marrying Sisupal. So she sent a letter with one brahmana to Krishna. Beautiful letter, saying that she wanted Krishna to come and take her away and marry her. So it was a very nice letter. And Krishna was also thinking of her. So one day when Rukmini went to get darshan of Durga Devi, she was walking very slowly. So many other girlfriends were around. And she was looking for Krishna in the crowd there. So many princes were also there. Everybody wanted to marry Rukmini. She was so beautiful. It's described that she was so beautiful that some of the princes, they fell off their horses. Now, just seeing the beauty of Rukmini, they fell off their horses. So when she saw Krishna, she was very happy. She had never seen him before, but she could understand that this is Krishna. And it's described that Krishna went up to her in between all the princes and took her hand. And it's described that he very slowly walked through the crowd. I mean, you would think that when you're kidnapping someone, you know, especially someone like Rukmini and all these princes, they were there just in case Krishna tried to do what people were thinking he was going to do, take Rukmini. So there's thousands of them, thousands of princes there to protect Rukmini from Krishna. And he just took her hand and slowly walked through. I guess eventually he kind of speeded up because they got on the chariot. And then Prabhupada said that she actually took the reins of the chariot and Krishna's fighting. She was a kshatriya. She was the daughter of a kshatriya, so I guess she knew how to, you know, ride a chariot. So then, of course, Krishna got away, and Balaram heard that there might be some trouble, so he brought his whole army and defeated all the soldiers. And some of them just got discouraged because, you know, why are we all fighting for this? You know, let Sisupal fight for it. And they all just left. And then Sisupal, he got discouraged. Anyway, what to do, you know? And then he left also. But Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, he thought, what is this? We can't let Krishna just walk away. I'm going to stop him. And he got a big bunch of Akshauhini soldiers and elephants. And he made a vow that if I don't stop Krishna, then I'm not coming back to to the kingdom. So he was determined. He was going to stop Krishna, going to kill Krishna. So he's chasing Krishna, and he's firing all these weapons at him. And finally, you know, Krishna, he's Krishna's shooting all the bowstrings. He brings out one bow, and Krishna shoots it, and then he brings out another, and he shoots it. Krishna's a very good shot, you know, very good kshatriya. You know? So he was destroying all his weapons. And finally, Rukmi got so angry, he didn't have any weapons left, so he just got his sword, and he just attacked Krishna. You know, and Krishna's, you know, destroyed that weapon also, and then Krishna's going to kill him. Then Rukmini bows to Krishna and begs, please, Krishna, don't kill him. He's my brother. He loves me. He's trying to do what he thinks is best for me. He doesn't know, but anyway, he's trying. So Krishna said, all right. But then he did a little trimming of his hair. Rukmi got the first punk rock hairdo in history before the punk rockers came out. So then Balaram comes and says, Krishna, what are you doing? This is our brother-in-law. How can you treat him like this? I mean, look at this. You've completely disgraced him. This is terrible. What way is this to treat our brother-in-law? So he's kind of chastising Krishna. And then he started preaching to Rukmini that, you know, Rukmini, this bodily conception of life, this is all not proper consciousness. This is the consciousness of someone that's in prison, he said. This bodily consciousness, this is my brother, this is my sister, this is my father, this is my mother, I'm from this dynasty. This is all bodily conception of life. We're all spirit souls. So you should come out of this consciousness. It's like being in a prison. And it's like that, isn't it? We get in this bewildered consciousness that I'm a brahmachari, I'm a householder, I'm a grihastha, I'm a vanaprastha, I'm a sannyasi. Gopi bhartu padakamaliyar dasa dasa anadas. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, I'm not a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra. But I am the servant of the servant of Krishna, the lover of the gopis. So this is the reality, that we are all spirit souls. We're not the body. And there is no pleasure in this material world. Although this pleasure, this sexual pleasure, this is the main pleasure, this is the main attraction in the material world. There's one instance of a sannyasi, or he was a brahmachari, and Prabhupada, he saw that he was very enthusiastic, very fired up to serve Krishna, a good preacher, and so he went to him and he said, what do you think of taking sannyas? And this brahmachari said, I'd like to take sannyas. Prabhupada's coming, imagine that. Yeah. So Prabhupada said, come and speak to me later this afternoon and we'll discuss the sannyas ceremony. So later that afternoon, he went to speak to Prabhupada. And the secretary was there. He would check who was coming and who was not coming, or why people were coming to see Prabhupada. So this brahmachari went in there to see Prabhupada, and the secretary said, why are you wanting to see Prabhupada? He said, well, I'm going to discuss with Prabhupada about the sannyas ceremony. Prabhupada has asked me to take sannyas, and I agreed. So the secretary said, do you know what it means to take sannyas? I mean, in the rest of your life, no more sex. Are you ready for that? And so, good point. Do you ever, so the secretary asked him, do you ever think of sex? I mean, I said, sometimes, I said, I don't know, you might want to think this over a little bit, you know? Yeah, maybe you're right, yeah. So then they were talking, and about a half hour they were talking. And then it got to the point where they were thinking of who he should marry. So, 360 turn there. So he didn't go to see Prabhupada. Next day Prabhupada saw him. He said, I thought you were going to come and see me. We're going to discuss the sannyas ceremony. He said, well, Prabhupada, you know, I've been thinking maybe I should get married. Prabhupada said, who's been talking to you? And the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, your secretary. So he called him in. Shyama Sundar, get in here. He was the secretary at the time. Why are you talking to my brahmacharis? He was going to get married. I mean, take sannyas. Now he's thinking of getting married. Why are you talking to him like that? Why have you done this? He said, well, Prabhupada, he said sometimes he thinks of sex. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, anybody who has a material body will think of sex. Heavy statement there. So then the secretary said, oh, sorry, Prabhupada. So that's the point. You know, that as long as we have a material body, there'll be some sex desire. Even Jamunacharya, famous Paramahansa, great Vaishnava, famous even to this day, lived centuries ago. He says, Yadavadhi mamachita Krishna padaravinde navanava rasadham yunti rati masi tadavadhi batanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukavikara shushtunushtivanam cha. He says, since I've been engaged in the service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of sex life, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. He was a prince, engaging in so much of this activity. But he got such a taste that he just thought it was like disgusting because he got this visyavanivartan, he got this higher taste in Krishna consciousness. So he's a pure devotee, but he's thinking that when this comes to my mind, so it's coming to his mind, even though he's a pure devotee. But he rejects it. It's like detestable compared to the pleasure of serving Krishna. So we should pray for this taste. Then we'll also reject. It'll come. So we just have to learn how to tolerate. Vacho vegam manasakroda vegam. Jiva vegam udarpasta vegam. Etang vegam visahita dira sarvam apimam pitiving sasisyat. One who is able to control the urge to speak, the mind's demands, anger, the tongue, belly, and genitals, he's qualified to make disciples all over the world. So the desires will be there. We just have to tolerate. And we have to tolerate it in any situation, whether one is a grihastha or a brahmachari or a sannyasi. I remember I was speaking to one sannyasi because for many years, many devotees, sannyasis, gurus are asking me, so, Vijay, when are you going to take sannyas? I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm ready for that. You know, still those desires are there. So I was speaking to one sannyasi and I asked him, so, you know, many sannyasis are asking me, when am I going to take sannyas? But you know, desires are still there. And I asked him, so do you, Maharaj, ever think of sex life? I was amazed by his reply. He said, all the time. And he remained a sannyasi throughout his life. He left his body, Sridhar Swami. He said, all the time. We got these Western bodies. It's just, it comes with the turf, you know. It comes with having, you know, these Western bodies. You know, you're going to think of these things. But you tolerate it. So, this is the situation. You know, those desires are there. So we just have to continue on in our service to Krishna and tolerate. And then we'll make very nice advancement. We have to understand there's no real pleasure in the material world. Even this heavenly pleasure, sex life, this doesn't give pleasure to the soul. It doesn't give the ultimate pleasure that we're all looking for. It's actually the pleasure of the animals. You know, they're also having this activity, but it's not, it doesn't bring ultimate satisfaction. So, on that point, is there any question or comment? No. Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki.